Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go inside the 8 p.m. hour on the fan. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, talking sports, starting off with the Juan Soto conversation. We have to. It just is what it is. You know, I was just checking the Bleacher Creatures chat and the legacy open house that the Yankees do for season ticket holders is this weekend. And if you've ever been to open house, which I used to go to open house more when I wasn't in the media, I would just go and hang out with the Creatures and some of the other season ticket holders. You get to walk on the field. There's discounts in the team store. There's games. You can win stuff. I still have a book bag that I won, a hat that I won. Like, it's cool. It's just a way for Yankee fans to come in and also politic and, like, talk to your ticket rep and, you know, see where you want to upgrade your seats for next year. And you know what I was just thinking? With the timing of open house being Saturday and Sunday, I believe. Or maybe it's just Sunday. Yeah, punch that Juan Soto deal. Sign Juan Soto by Sunday. And you know how the business works, right? If Yankee fans are showing up to Yankee Stadium the holiday season, like, that's another thing, too. People always come in there and buy gifts because I think the team store is, like, half off. Man, get the Juan Soto deal done, and then the business works for itself. All the season ticket holders are going to re-up. All the season ticket holders are going to say, I need better seats. Yeah, I need to be sitting in right field. Yeah, I need to be sitting closer to the dugout. I need to see Juan Soto next year as the Yankees fight to get back to the World Series. 888-808-1019. Bruce is in Flushing, back on the fan.
Hey, Keith. Three-part phone call. Soto, Plan B, and does the media think Yankee fans are idiots?
Yes. I mean, some of us are. Some of us really are, like, following all this.
First, on Soto, I don't understand people. Don't they listen to Jack Curry? As you pointed out, Jack Curry said the Yankees know what it takes to get Juan Soto. And they've made multiple offers, which tells me, as you have said before, that the report over the weekend by Randy Miller, I don't know his last name.
Randy Miller. Shout out to Randy. His name is trending over the last couple of days. He was on the fan with Ricky Ricardo. You got it, buddy. You did it.
You know, his report has to be inaccurate according to Jack Curry. So of all those Mets fans who are, like, hanging on every word what Randy Miller said, sorry, but does that mean Soto is definitely coming to the Yankees? No, but it means that Hal knows what it takes to get Soto. So that's point number one. Point number two, I want Soto. I think most Yankee fans want Soto. But if the Yankees don't get Soto, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
It would be plan B. Number one, after Soto signs someplace else, hopefully not, but if he does, then in the next 48 to 72 hours, you sign Santander of Baltimore Orioles. The guy hit 40 home runs. And what was the Yankee crate for the great Yankee teams? Switch hitters. He is a switch hitter with power. So, and is a good fielder. So you put him in left field. You put Judge back and right, and you put the Martian in center. And if for people, I don't know if you play chess or not, but in chess, there are sometimes you risk losing the queen to improve the position on the board.
Mm-hmm.
With Judge in right, the Martian in center, and Santander in left field, that's a much better fit. Then you get Adams to play third base because everywhere he goes, his team wins. You want winning ball players. You put him in third, and you sign Gonzalez from Arizona. as first baseman, or if you believe in Ben Rice enough, you let him play first base and you go after Tanner Scott and a starting pitcher. And that team is just as good as this team was last season. You agree?
Maybe even better. And no disrespect to Juan Soto in having a plan that doesn't include him, but that's just the reality. It's his choice. He could choose to move on. And if so, we move still.
Now, for the media who think Yankee fans are idiots, I've seen this in several places. Why would the Yankees trade the Martian for Luis Roberts, who hasn't been healthy in 5 years, and is basically a 250 hitter with power? Does the media think the Yankees fans and the Yankees brass are idiots?
They just use the name Yankees for clicks. They use the name Yankees to drive conversation and price. We've all gone through it our entire lives as Yankee fans.
I'm just calling them out on it because I'm just getting sick and tired.
It's every year.
Okay, take care, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Yeah, I like the idea. Like I talked last night about Willie Adames and how Willie Adames geeked up when he got to meet Derek Jeter and how much that guy would love to be a Yankee. Of course he would. He'd love to come here. He's a competitor. He's athletic. He steals bases. He's a dog. Like he would fit in. Like there are other options. Like as much as I understand the impact of Juan Soto, and so do the Yankees, right? The Yankees are the ones that gave up Thorpe and Vasquez and Brito and King and Higashioka for him. And then they watched him all year. So much so that Hal Steinbrenner didn't even mess with him too much. Hey, keep doing your thing. It's going well. I don't need to get in your ear too much. I think the Yankees understand what he did to the clubhouse, to the fan base, and they watched him, you know, hit the home run. I think there was even a quote from Cashman as they were hoisting the AL pennant trophy up. You know, they asked him what he was thinking during the Juan Soto at bat and Juan Soto hitting that home run. And he said he was thanking God that they had Juan Soto. Like they were just thankful that Juan Soto was on their side. Yeah, what a difference having that guy in that spot makes. 888-808-1019. Actually, I'm going to take a call and then I have a guest coming up. So you don't have to call yet. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's go to Calvin in Washington Heights.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man? I'm a huge baseball fan like you, but I agree with what you're saying, but I have to be very transparent. You know, Juan Soto is, how can I say it? I like to compare him as the left-handed version. I'm not going to say he's as good as him, but he's in that ballpark range of Miguel Cabrera. He's the left-handed version of him. He is the most disciplined hitter, overall hitter that we have in our generation right now. He, in my opinion, he's the best hitter that the Yankees have. Judge is a great player, but overall hitting wise, Juan Soto is a person that is different. You know, he's the eagle eye. He actually made Judge better, believe it or not. I know you were Yankee. We all Yankee fans because Judge is actually taking more base on balls. He actually walked more than 100 times.
Had a better year in his MVP year this year in center field than 2 years ago in right field. Yes.
And he had walked more. He walked more. And I saw the Yankees actually were more swag. The Yankees were so proper before. They were actually having fun.
They all were having better at-bats. They all carried themselves with just a little more aura, and a lot of that came from Juan Soto.
And the dugout jumping, exciting. Baseball's fun. Baseball's a fun sport. You don't have to be – you got to enjoy it. I honestly think that he wants to stay in New York because I honestly believe he loves the New York vibe. He loves the nightlife in New York and all that is to come. But unfortunately, I think that whatever team gets him, which I think he belongs in the Yankees or across town for the Mets, one of those teams, they have a hitter that you have a potentially can go to the playoffs every year you can count on. Because if you put him with San Diego, he did the same thing. And in his MVP year with the Nationals, that they stole the MVP from him and they gave it to Bryce Harper, he had no protection. And he still did an amazing year. So I honestly think that signing Juan Soto helps us in the playoffs. Why? Because I haven't been able to count on Judge in the playoffs. Do I believe that Judge is going to stay like that forever? No, because he's so talented. But he hasn't done anything yet in the playoffs. So that's why I think it's very important to sign him, because he takes that pressure off
Agreed.
Everyone else.
Agreed. Thanks for the call, Calvin. 888-808-1019. We got a break. Knicks are up 45-32 with 9.5 to go in the first half. We're going to bring in my guy, Jared Carrabas. You might know him from the Section 10 podcast. You might know him from Baseball is Dead podcast. You might know him formerly of Barstool. Him and I have crossed paths a bunch of times on the internet at MLB Network. And it's just a good little back and forth that we usually have as myself, a Yankees fan, himself, a Red Sox fan. We'll congratulate him on signing Aroldis Chapman. Yeah, so we'll take this break. We'll bring him in. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. There it is.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yeah, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. A little bit after 8 o'clock. And joining us right now, everyone's favorite Boston Red Sox fan, it's Jared Carrabas. What's up, Jared?
Keith, how are we living right now?
Man, I'm good, honestly. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but, you know, all this Juan Soto talk got me feeling a little bit better. You know, I can't say too great, but a little bit better.
I know you're a gym guy. Go to the gym and sweat it out. Also hit some of
That's
that ginger. Get some of that tea in you. Get some ginger in the tea, some lemon. I just took a cold, too. I was sick through the whole Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I'm trying to think what else I did. It is literally the weather. It is being under the weather. It's cold now. It's like walking to work. I'm fighting the cold. I can't have on enough layers. But anyway, yeah, Juan Soto. Before we get to Juan Soto, congratulations on Aroldis Chapman. You found your closer.
God, I mean, Liam Hendricks is my closer. But, man, Aroldis Chapman felt like a sick joke. I'm not even lying. I was in therapy when I saw the news come across. I had to explain to my therapist why I was like, I wish I had my reaction on camera, because I didn't know what to feel. I like laughed, but it wasn't funny at the same time. I was just like, man, like, I know my mentions are about to explode.
Yeah, he's you're my a big supporter. You're like, if you actually searched Aroldis or Chapman, just Chapman, and your name on Twitter, there's 100 great tweets.
I mean, put it this way, like, my reaction tweet is almost at 1 million views. It's been up for like 9 hours. I think people are like, what is he going to say? How's he going to feel? And honestly, like, we haven't done a podcast yet. We're going to do the podcast tomorrow night. So this is my first time speaking about it. You get first dibs. I still don't quite know how to process the news, because I can look at it from both sides. Do I like the guy? No. Do I like the signing? Not really. Like, I would have rather had Tanner Scott. But I think the Red Sox are probably looking at it as, we can spend a little less and get similar results. If we want the hard-throwing lefty that can get the swing and miss, then this is the route we're going to go. But I don't know, man. Like, there's no way that there's going to be a moment where I'm like, you know what? Maybe this guy ain't so bad. Like, it's just, I'm going to have to ignore him. Like, I'm going to just have to power through the season. Like, he's going to be on the team for a year, and I'm going to have to ignore his existence. And that's fine. I've done that with guys before. Like, guys that, you know, I'm like, all right, you're on my team. That doesn't mean I have to like you, but that's what we're dealing with here.
You'll never be able to ignore that video of him rubbing up his grandmother.
That's true. That is true. I mean, that's what sucks about this, is if it weren't for all the off the field stuff, like, at least we could have done something with that. But, like, I can't even do anything with that. Like, I
yeah.
just
there's stuff that we can't laugh like about and joke about. There's some other things from the past that aren't really funny, but he's yours. Right. He's yours. And I'll say this about him. Like, I mean, he was better getting away from New York. He was better as a Pittsburgh Pirate. He won a World Series with the Rangers. Like, he showed he still got it. It didn't work here, as you know. I know every time the Yankees lost in the postseason and Chapman was on the mound, you smiled wherever you were.
A lot of times I was on camera, Keith, and I made sure everyone knew how I felt in those moments, specifically the 2019 American League Championship Series. I basically cut a WWE promo on his ass after he gave up that home run to Altuve. So I don't know. And it's not to say, because I always get the you won't say it to his face. Like, I always get that from Yankee fans. You won't say it to his face. That's not true. I've been mere inches away from this man multiple times.
You will be again. You definitely will be.
And I will be again. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a thing with, you know, specifically Yankee players, but even guys on my own team, like Pablo Sandoval, we have a long standing beef. Have no problem, you know, talking trash to Pablo Sandoval face to face. And with Chapman, I mean, we're definitely going to cross paths. Like, it's, you know, it's inevitable. So I'm going to keep it to baseball. You know, if he doesn't perform well, he's going to hear it. And I don't know. It's going to be like an awkward existence.
It's,
you know?
It's fine. This is what these guys do. They talk trash to fans. I know you're a big Jaren Duran supporter. It's regular. You know, these guys just have back and forth with the fans. And, you know, we move on from it.
It is what it is.
But the real reason that the Red Sox signed Aroldis Chapman is Dominicano, 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 Dominicano. We understand the full Dominican press is on the generational Juan Soto, from David Ortiz to Pedro Martinez to Manny Ramirez, Rafael Devers. Now you bring in Chapman, it's like, okay, all the reports over the weekend from these random Dominican reporters, these random verified accounts on Twitter, they all got to be true. It's a done deal. He's going to be a Boston Red Sox. Where are you guys going to play Juan Soto? Left field, right field, Green Monster, pesky pole?
I mean, here's the thing about the whole Juan Soto sweepstakes and the Red Sox involvement. Yeah, there's some clout chasers out there. There are definitely some people looking for their clout. And where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes. With the Red Sox involvement, I think it's going to come down to your Yankees, the New York Mets, and I do think the Red Sox will be that third team at the end of the day. I do. Ken Rosenthal just dropped a piece. I don't know if you got a chance to see it if you were on the air, but more or less saying, you know, that the remaining teams have all gotten to $600 million or north of it. And as a Red Sox fan, I'm looking at that saying, okay, you have now doubled your best offer that you've ever made in franchise history, which is a far cry from where the Red Sox have been the last 5 years. You know, they wouldn't pay Mookie Betts 300 and whatever he got. What was it? 365,
But it was clearly the right move. It was clearly the right decision.
I mean, the Red Sox, this idea that they're now cursed because they didn't pay Mookie Betts. If they turn around and pay Juan Soto, I don't think anyone's going to be talking about Mookie anymore. They're going to be like, all right, we got our franchise guy. We got him younger. He's 26. Mookie's what, 32, going on 33. You know, if you were to ask me, would you rather have Juan Soto right now at 26 for $600 million or Mookie Betts at 33 for 365? Give me Juan Soto. So I think all is forgiven. I don't want to hear a word about Mookie Betts if the Red Sox sign Juan Soto.
See,
are they the favorites? No.
That's the thing, too. I know how in touch you are with the fan base. I literally think about you being on stage at the Fan Fest and, like, talking to ownership. Like, you are the voice in between, literally between the fans and the ownership. And you can speak to the fans how they felt when that happened and how they'll feel if this happens. Do you get a sense or a gauge that, like, ownership knows they have to go land a big fish like that, specifically this one here, to make up for, you know, past failures or past not spending?
I don't think they're thinking of it as let's make up for Mookie Betts. I think they're thinking of it as let's build that next great Red Sox core and win a fifth World Series title under this ownership group. I think they've, in a way, learned from their mistakes of the past. I mentioned the name Pablo Sandoval. The Red Sox finished in last place in 2012, won the World Series in 2013, finished in last place in 2014, and then tried to get out from under that by giving money to Hanley Ramirez. They had no spot for him. They were like, I guess he'll play left field. And he was the worst defensive left fielder of all time. Put him at first base. He wasn't so bad. Then they put him at DH, and they were like, well, we need the DH spot. So they got rid of him. And then Pablo, I believe, was the second most money ever left on a contract on a player to get DFA'd. So I think they learned from their mistakes of, hey, if we don't have the group to do this, let's just not go out and spend a bunch of money in free agency and hope for the best. Like, let's work on building that next core. And then when we think we have that next core, then we spend the money. And right now, the Red Sox have six players in the top 100 for their prospects. And, I mean, you can make a case that two of them, I would venture to put some scratch on them being eventual all-stars in Major League Baseball, and Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony. Like, those guys are legit. So, yeah, I think the Red Sox learned their lesson. Don't just spend random money. But when it's time to spend, we spend. Like, that happened 2007. That J.D. Drew, Dice K, all those guys. They spent, they won the World Series. So, that I think that that's just what we're seeing. We're seeing smartly timed spending.
Yeah, and I think it's legitimate. I do think that the Red Sox are in on this one. I do understand the Dominican fans and their ties with the players and watching those championships. Even Juan Soto, the age that he is, right? He didn't watch the Yankees win in the 90s, but he certainly watched the Red Sox and the World Series that they won in more recent times. So I think it's valid. It's all there. And I also think this is business, right? I think that, you know, with you guys trying to host an all-star game, with it being remodeled up there, it's like, hey, you got to bring in a star, not just Devers. But here's a question for you. Like, one thing that kind of jammed me up, you know, Devers as a third baseman projecting as a DH, and Juan Soto as an outfielder projecting as a DH, you can't have two of those guys making all that money, potentially being a DH. There's got to be some type of pathway to that, or like, what do you see for that in the future if Juan Soto signs with the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think it's infield or outfielder, right? Like, Devers already right now is not a good defender at third base. You can put him at first. I'd rather have him at DH. But Juan Soto, it's Fenway Park. Just stick him in left field. Like, at Yankee Stadium, I mean, right field, there's a lot of space out there. Like, you don't have to be some elite defense. Like, Manny Ramirez was the Red Sox left fielder for almost a decade. Like, I'm not worried about Juan Soto in left field at Fenway Park.
Yeah, neither were we. That's why when we went up there, Verdugo played right and Juan Soto played left. And you just got a rebound. You just got to, you know, pick it up off the backboard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about him. Like we're talking about, like, the back years of this deal, if he's ever going to be a DH or whatever. But that's also just a crazy thought as a Red Sox fan to have is, well, if we sign Juan Soto, what do we do with him? I don't know. Just get him on the team. We'll figure it out. Like, it's Juan Soto. Like, I'm not worried about where he fits.
There are crazy Yankee fans saying, he's not a good defender. We signed him for 15 years. What are we going to do with him? What are we going to do with Judge? How's it going to work? I'm like, it's going to work. We got Stanton still. He's DH'ing. I'm like, they're going to find ways to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, Judge in center field is I feel like those days are numbered. I don't know how you feel about it.
I mean, I know you talked a lot about it. I listened to the podcast. I watched your videos on that drop pop-up. How much did you enjoy that fifth inning as a Red Sox fan from the outside looking in?
I wish that it was someone else other than I love Aaron Judge. I'm a Judgy guy, so I wish it was someone other than Aaron Judge.
Verdugo. Could have been Verdugo.
Yeah, if it was Verdugo, that would have been great. You know, but it pains me because I am an Aaron Judge fan. Like, I wanted this playoff run to be his A-Rod 09 run, where it was just, hey, I had a great season, and let me carry that into the postseason, and maybe not win a World Series. I don't need that happening, but just kind of, like, shut the people up that he can't do it in the playoffs. And he can do it in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen it. Up until the boombox game, if you go back and look at his playoff numbers, he had an OPS over 1,000 for, like, his first, whatever it was, like 18 playoff games or something like that. So he can do it, but he's just on an ungodly, awful stretch of playoff baseball.
Strikeouts.
But I am actually rooting for the guy.
He just can't duplicate what he does in the regular season over the stretch of the postseason. No one can duplicate what Judge does in the regular season and the postseason. But I think, like I've been saying, he failed at the highest level. There's no higher level to fail on. Like, he's got that off his back. Like, you can't embarrass yourself any more than dropping that pop-up and striking out that many times. No. You know, whatever. It's done. Last thing for you, the golden at-bat rule. Like, are we getting too far? Like, I get it that, you know, other sports have evolved, and baseball has evolved for the better, right? I know, you know, you and I are people that have been content creators in baseball for over 10 years and people that like just like baseball, never thought we had to make baseball cool again, never thought we had to reinvent the wheel. But I feel like now we're getting a little too far. Like, how do you score that? Or like, how do we police that? Or like, how do you actually make a golden at-bat rule where you can put somebody in, and then, like, it's going to backfire. Like, do I want Judge having that golden at-bat? I don't.
I don't want it to go into effect, but I like that they're thinking this way. That's kind of where I fall on it, is I'm going to pass on this rule, but let's continue the conversation. Let's continue thinking of ways that we can spice things up. Because I see the logic, and I agree with the logic, right? Like, think about basketball. If the game is on the line and you're down by two, you want the ball in the hands of your best shooter. And more often than not, that's what you get. If you show up, the best player is going to have the ball in their hands with that in that spot. So why not have the best hitter in that spot? Well, because that's not baseball. That's why. You know, it's just basketball is basketball and baseball is baseball. But so for me, it's like, yeah, this one's going to be a pass, but I like that we're thinking this way. And I like that, you know, Manfred is not, you know, for a man his age, he's not someone that is shying away from thinking outside the box, thinking of entertaining rule changes that he knows are going to upset traditionalists. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where you have to go. You have to be unafraid to upset those people.
Yeah, I mean, I think Manfred is going to go out in these next 5 years before you. I think he's going to make radical changes. I've already said he's going to realign. We're going to expand. They're going to shorten the season. Like, Manfred, and by 2009, baseball is going to look way different, and maybe we'll be cool with that. Maybe that'll be okay. Maybe the future has those things for baseball to stay alive and well, and I think it is alive and well. I think this was a great year for the sport. Obviously, the Dodgers and Yankees, the dream World Series happening, and as dramatic as it was, like, I think baseball's in a good spot, and this next year is going to be just as good, if not better.
And I think we can both agree that no matter what happens, Juan Soto cannot go to the Dodgers. That would be...
I thought you were going to say the Mets.
We can't have that.
Yeah, I was going to say he cannot be a Met. That would just be so lame.
Best case scenario is he goes to the Mets, because then I don't have him, you don't have him, and he gets the most money. Good for him.
And he only goes to the postseason like three more times the rest of his career.
Sure. He's already got his ring. Go get your bag, dude.
Yeah, he's not going to the Dodgers. Did you just see Blake Snell talking about, like, oh, yeah, the top three hitters in their lineup. Like, this guy's literally can't beat him, join him. You play for the Padres, you play for the San Francisco Giants, and then you put that jersey on talking about how you've wanted to live in L.A. and how you're glad to not be going against those guys, and they're hitting for me. I'm like, this is where we've gotten in baseball.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And, I mean, I respect the Dodgers' hustle. Like, I respect the fact that, you know, this is a team that routinely was going to the World Series, and then in the following year
they
was
always improve.
Making improvements.
They make trades.
Yeah, it's like we're either going to sign the improve. Top guy. Yeah, like, I respect the hell out of that. But we're now at the point where it's like, all right, dude, relax. Like, chill out.
Yeah, you, just you, know, like, you just won. You're trying to go back-to-back? Like, all right.
Yeah, and like, they're good enough to go back-to-back as is. And you know, it is... It is what it is with the Dodgers, man. Like, they have it absolutely figured out in terms of marketing and just player development, and they care. I mean, isn't that what we all want from our owners? Is, you know, go out there and create the best possible team, put a video game lineup out there.
The Dodgers money are doing game. That. Everybody can defer money, but it seems to be one team that's got all of it. You got to defer money on Tommy Edman.
That's crazy.
You got to do Tommy Edman's deal with deferred money? All right, all right. I see what y'all are doing. I can't knock the hustle, can't hate the player, hate the game.
They're just going to keep doing it until somebody stops them. And that's, I think we're getting there. I don't know what it's going to take, but eventually we're going to get to that point. Kind of how, you know, old school Red Sox Yankees, where, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox, they both wanted Curt Schilling going into 04. And Schilling was like, I could go there, get another ring, and add another championship to the Yankees trophy case. Or I could go to Boston and give them their first in 86 years. Like, that has more appeal to me. Eventually, like, I know these guys that are signing with the Dodgers think it's cool. Like, oh, we're assembling the Avengers over here.
Let's link up.
Yeah. Eventually, players will be like, nah, like, I want to beat them. Like, they think they're so great.
That's the spirit of competition. You're supposed to want to go knock off the champs. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're getting very close to, you know, maybe it's Juan Soto. Maybe I don't think the Dodgers are going to have the bet because he doesn't want deferred money. Like, Juan Soto's not going to take the Dodgers' deferred payments, so that's why he's not going there. But if there were another superstar player coming up on free agency and the Dodgers are hot on his tails, and he's like, you know what? I don't even care if the Dodgers have the best offer. I want to beat the Dodgers. Eventually, we're going to get there, and we're not that far off.
Jared, you're the man. Appreciate you doing this while you're fighting the cold, man. I'm telling you, ginger, lemon, honey, get the hot water, the hot tea, and you'll clear that right up.
I'm about to crush some tea right now.
I owe you one, bro. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, Keith.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, yeah. Quickly here before we go to the next break. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Coming up, Brendan Cuddy, who covers your New York Yankees. I've had him on at least five times. There's a new article out on The Athletic that I'm perusing. And Paulie already updated on us. On it, where Juan Soto bidding reaches $600 million. Okay, we didn't think it would be less than $600 million, but you know these reporters are working hard. This is the week we're gonna find out more, and we'll get some intel from Brendan Cuddy, who is one of the writers on it, along with Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal. But for now, I did plant some seeds on the New York Football Giants. What I'll say between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward is this: you know, Shedeur Sanders is already iconic, legendary, he calls himself. I mean, he wears his, Rolly, his Audemars Piguet, his, you know, Patek Philippe, whatever nice watch that he has on the field. And he's got a million followers and a podcast and Well Off Forever. Shout out to Bucky, his older brother, who does all their social media. Like, they're already huge. They're big. They have an empire online, and they're already millionaires. And obviously, Deion Sanders, we all know him. If that comes to New York, as big as this media market is, all the eyes, ears, and attention on it, it is gas. It is explosive. And that can be good and bad. 888-808-1019. Cam Ward. What I like about Cam Ward is his story, his journey. He went to Incarnate Word. He went to Washington State, transferred to Miami. And more we're seeing these quarterbacks that have transferred. But a lot of times when you transfer and you were a starter elsewhere and you're a starter in another place, you get a ton of reps and experience. As we were talking about Bo Nix earlier, and everybody's looking at, how come the Giants didn't draft Bo Nix? They didn't like him on film. They didn't like his fit in the offense. They didn't like him enough to draft him. Wasn't their guy. But I think a important thing about Bo Nix is that he got a ton of experience in the SEC playing for Auburn, and then he also played big-time football at Oregon. Man, you need these quarterbacks that come into the NFL that have a ton of reps, that have seen different defenses. You know, not to knock Caleb Williams, because he's also a transfer from Oklahoma to USC, but he wasn't a four-year starter, right? You need guys with experience to know, hey, clock is ticking. You can't take a sack. Clock is ticking. We got to attempt a field goal here. Clock is ticking. You call timeout. And I think Cam Ward is a guy that would be better suited for Brian Daboll to mold versus Shedeur Sanders being molded by Deion Sanders primetime, who played pro, and then also having Tom Brady in his ear. If you connect the dots, Tom Brady is a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think there's already something there where the Raiders want to draft Shedeur Sanders so he can stay out west. It ain't that far from Denver to Las Vegas. And it also ain't that far from Miami to New York. So I can see the writing on the wall for Cam Ward to come up here and be the future Giants quarterback, and for Shedeur Sanders to be the Raiders quarterback. But we'll see how the picks line up. We'll see how all that goes. I know you guys have seen assistant GM Brandon Brown and Joe Shane, the Giants GM, out in Colorado multiple times this year. So I know they have a relationship with Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders, and Brian Daboll might like him better. But I don't know. I think it would just be a better, safer pick to take Cam Ward, who's got great arm talent. He can be a little risky with the ball. I think he does need to be a little more refined. I think it'd be a better play for Brian Daboll to draft that kid and work with that kid. And I can see him and Malik Nabers absolutely lighting it up. Vincent is in Hoboken. Vincent, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, Keith?
Good, good.
I really like what you just said about Cam Ward. I think he's gonna pair great with Malik Nabers. However, I disagree with your opinion on Brian Daboll. I mean, do you think he's gonna be the one that, you know, the head coach that's gonna be developing him best? Or do you, can you see another?
If you've gone through this much, keep going. If you've gone through this much embarrassment, this much losing, you got to keep going. I think he's going to be the guy. Yeah, I think he's safe. They've asked him, you fear for your job? He does not fear for his job. I think everybody over there in Giants territory, they're on the same page. This has been a rough season, but it's not going to get any better. Maybe they win one more game, but you can see the future. They're drafting a quarterback. And yeah, if you can get productivity out of Tommy DeVito, if in that first year with Daniel Jones you were able to get him to limit the turnovers and run the ball more and get some wins and get a playoff win, like, the whole thing is to draft your own, to have your own guy. And if it's Cam Ward, I could see him refining Cam Ward and using that arm talent and that athleticism and, you know, the same things that he applied to Daniel Jones with taking care of the football and stuff like that. Like, I could see that working out more so than Shedeur Sanders.
But do you see a GM like Joe Shane taking the fame and the headline of the Sanders name and drafting him with the first or second?
No, I don't think it's wise. At this point, I don't think it's wise to take all of that on. That's built more for Vegas. That's more built for Davis and Tom Brady to handle Dion and Shedeur. I think Cam Ward is the guy that's going to come in here. I think he's going to be humble. I think he's going to work. And I think that Brian Daboll is going to be the guy and Shane's going to be the guy. I think they're both safe. I think the writing's on the wall for him to be the quarterback of the Giants.
All right. I agree with that opinion. I hope they draft Cam Ward. I think I see a lot in Miami that he's doing that would be a heaven send for the Giants. And, I can't name the last triple threat quarterback we've had in a long time for the Giants. Daniel Jones wasn't it, but I'm hoping we draft
Davis
Cam
Webb
this year.
Davis Webb. Thanks for the call, Vincent. 888-808-1019. Let me sneak another call in. Don is up in the BX. Don from the Bronx. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith, I think I agree with you about the Daboll being, his job is safe. But just playing devil's advocate, I know there's a guy in the booth, one of the booths, he's got a lot of head coaching experience. Once these coaches get in the booth, they don't like to leave the booth. But what about Jason Garrett as a coming back as a coach? Maybe a coach for the Giants or the Jets.
Jason Garrett, who was the offensive coordinator under Joe Judge?
Yep.
Why would you want to go back to him as the head coach? Because he was a head coach in Dallas?
Well, he's got history with the Giants, too, so.
Just curious. I just highly doubt that. Thanks for the call, Don. I don't think that that's even kind of possible. Shout out to Jason Garrett. Rest in peace to his father. I've had the pleasure of being around the Garretts. I've told this story about working out in their yard at Monmouth Beach. Great family, great football family, and great for Jason to be on the NBC broadcast. I literally, my first night on WFAN, I came in and the news was that Jason Garrett was fired as the offensive coordinator. And a lot of my show that night was saying that that's your pound of flesh, but there needs to be more. And then Joe Judge was fired. No. You have your head coach and your GM. Now, I think Mike Kafka will leave. I think Mike Kafka wanted to leave last year. I think he might be out, and there might be another offensive coordinator, and maybe, Daboll reconsiders the play calling, which he should, but I do not think that they will be bringing Jason Garrett back as a head coach or a coordinator. I think that's done. I don't think he gets a job in the NFL. 888-808-1019. Don't call right now, but if you're on hold, stay on hold. Jeff Raup, you guys will be first. I don't want you to call because I have an interview coming up. Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic covering your Yankees. If you want to peruse that article that just came out about Juan Soto and the floor being $600 million, we're going to specifically talk to him about that, where the Yankees are, other teams are, and this baseball offseason. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll do that right after this.